Good morning. Welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Stragglers are coming in. You're welcome. We had 10 at 8 o'clock and 9 at 9 o'clock and 15 at 10, and now let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 12 here, so good. And you're able to social distance, and we welcome you. The only prelude you're going to get is a quiet moment. You might be serenaded by the ice machine, that's it. But we're adapting because David Rappel said, well, why don't you close the window? And I'm like, oh, we don't. I closed it. Sunday on regular times, we don't do it because all the coffee and cookies are there. We don't have that right now. So, again, we take a quiet minute to pray our hearts and minds for worship. We'll begin on page 2 of your bulletin. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God our Father and of one another. Holy God our Father, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for self-centered living, failing to walk humbly and Have mercy on us for self-centered living, failing to walk with humility and gentleness, longing for what is not ours, hearts that are not at rest with ourselves, misuse of human relationships, unwillingness to see your image in others, jealousies that divide families and nations, rivalries that create strife and warfare, reluctance in sharing your gifts, carelessness with your creation, hurtful words that condemn and angry words that harm, and idleness in witnessing to your Son Jesus and squandering his gifts of love and grace. Holy God, our Father, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, our Father, his Son Jesus was given to die for us. And for his sake, God, our Father, forgives us all our sins. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, our Father, cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one Jesus who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous holy light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority only, I therefore declare to all of us the entire forgiveness of our sins in the holy name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray the prayer of the day together. Let us pray. God our Father, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to guide us now, so that following only your Son, Jesus, we walk safely through the wilderness of this world to the life you alone grant. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray the prayers for the world together. And, of course, we keep everyone around the world in our prayers, as I know we all are, about the virus. Let us pray together. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war or warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We continue with the scriptures. You'll find them on page 2 and 3 of your insert that is marked at the top, lessons, the lessons piece. Jesus is moved to sorrow when his friend Lazarus falls ill and dies. Then in a dramatic scene, Jesus calls his friend Lazarus out of his death tomb and restores Lazarus to life. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord Jesus with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, Lazarus, whom you love, is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to Jesus, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, Jesus told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." Then Jesus' disciples said to him, "Lord, if Lazarus has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about Lazarus' death, but his disciples thought Jesus was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told his disciples plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to Lazarus." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met Jesus while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of God." Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Jesus, "I know that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this?" Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed Mary because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, Mary knelt at Jesus' feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" The group said to Jesus, "Lord, come see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how Jesus loved Lazarus." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man Lazarus from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, in commanding them, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man Lazarus, said to Jesus, "Lord, already there is a stench because Lazarus has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So the group took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus had said this, he cried with a loud voice in commanding, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man Lazarus came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said in commanding those standing there, "Unbind Lazarus and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here. We're grateful that you've provided us with your Son's house of worship that is welcoming enough when it's opened up like this with small groups to still be able to worship. We ache for our brothers and sisters who can only see worship on video and internet tape. And we're grateful, though, for those opportunities. Again, may we never take worship for granted. We're grateful to be here to continue to share the good news, Father God, that you remain in control of your world. Jesus himself, your only begotten Son, came and said, "I did not come to bring the end of disease or disaster or death or war or famine. I came to prove to you that I have conquered them all, and I want you to live in faith and know that you are with me forevermore." In this great good news, may the Holy Spirit continue to embolden us in the face of fear, no matter what the subject matter, that we live by faith, and we live in the reason that faith is the core of what who we are, and the Holy Spirit emboldens us to bring that good news that Jesus Christ is in control of the Father's world, always has been, always is, and always will be. We're the beacons of that good news. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. I'm sort of getting used to doing four of these on a Sunday morning. I told Michelle in the office the Sunday afternoon, I was really exhausted last week. And I realized that the extra one can do that to you. It's not about my age. It's more about when you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's draining when you get home. And doing this four times in a row, I'm glad to be able to do it as long as the county, the state will allow us. So it's good to be with you. But I'm very healthy at the moment, so I'm not going to cause you anything. Dennis is visiting with us. We'll be out of here in about 40 minutes. It's a very abbreviated service. He's visiting his mother, Norma Jean Wilson, and his brother just had, open heart to replace the valve. I wasn't sure. They can go through the groin to do some of that now. So had to come down from Atlanta. Yeah. So, by the way, before you go, I thought I had your phone number. I was going to call you, and I don't. I did at one point, but I don't know what I did with it. So, a couple of things just briefly. So you know, Nancy's here this morning. Again, the Reverend Bill Griswold, her husband, died. We will have a service for him at a later date when we can gather properly. In the bulletin, if you didn't have her address, the address is in there in the announcements and fundraiser section. It wasn't in there last Sunday because Reverend Bill died a week ago Saturday. So if you didn't have a chance to find it, and if you'd like to send cards, please do. The other is pretty exciting good news because, you know, I always warn you when the Holy Spirit's talking to me, right? Yeah, you just never know. Usually something most of the people are, even Dennis is smiling. He's been around me long enough. But I was at home Friday getting ready for today, and I've actually been just as busy right now because I'm catching up on a lot of things that became secondary. But pretty soon I'm going to run out of secondary things, and I thought, well, I'll go work in my yard. I'm not going out there if it's 92. Forget it. And I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit says, "What do you think you know about Holy Week?" And I'm like, well, it starts next Sunday, Palm Sunday, my favorite Sunday in the church year. And, of course, we're going to celebrate. We're still going to have, as long as the county and the state will allow us, the national government, we will have the four services for Palm Sunday. We will do something. I haven't decided how to do it yet for Good Friday. We have the combined Holy Thursday, Good Friday service because it's easier for people to attend versus having it Thursday and Friday. We'll do something there. And, of course, a week from Sunday, we'll celebrate Easter Sunday at the four services as well. And the Holy Spirit said, "Nah, that isn't what I'm talking about. What do you know about Holy Week?" And I said, "Well, it changes every year. It's never the same week," which I can't really stand in the church. It's like it bounces around all over the place, right, based on the lunar cycle. Go figure that out. And can you imagine if Christmas was December 1st or December 31st? Aren't you glad it's a set day? We don't really know the day that Jesus was born. It's a picked day. But we also don't really know the day of his resurrection. Maybe that's why we bounce around. We think it was somewhere between March and the end of April. And the Holy Spirit said to me, which I think is really cool, why don't you celebrate Holy Week when the green light comes out and do it again? And we're going to do that. When the green light comes out in the county and the state and the federal government, we are going to have a Holy Week where we can all gather safely together. I will let you know, it probably won't be till best case, the end of April, beginning of May, probably for sure, the way things are going. But share that, because it's incredible good news. And aren't you glad I listened to the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Even if it's about food pantries and building a sanctuary, which drives some people crazy. Don't you know, sometimes I like driving you crazy, no?
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking forward to that. What you will remember, I believe, through the power of the Holy Spirit someday. You will not remember these words, COVID-19. I don't believe you'll remember that. You'll remember there was a virus. But you'll remember in the year of our Lord, 2012, we celebrated Holy Week, bless you, twice. And I think that's much more important, don't you?
Yes.
And then you'll be able to run around and go, well, our church celebrated Holy Week, even though it wasn't officially Holy Week. I'm excited about that, aren't you? And the incredible good news of today's gospel, it's in conclusion before we get to Holy Week next Sunday, of St. John's teachings for us from Jesus. Next Sunday we start back into St. Matthew, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem in triumph. Jesus, these last three Sundays in teaching us, has switched to something theologically that he doesn't do that often, and there's a reason, I believe, why he's doing it. Jesus and all the teachings and all the things that he does and has an incredible balance between his humanity and his divinity. And he balances those through all the teachings, but not in these three. These are heavily laden with his divinity. He never pushes that on people, but he's doing that now. Why? Because he knows Jerusalem is coming. If you read ahead from here where we are today, you will find out that after Lazarus is raised from the grave, the Jews find out and they are mad and they plot to kill Lazarus and they are not successful. Jesus moves on in chapter 12 with some brief teachings, and the next thing you know in chapter 13, he is washing the disciples' feet on the night he's betrayed. Jesus is giving us his power right now to prove to us all that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Alpha and our Omega. And so he's heavily focused on him being the Son of God and his divine nature. And that's, I believe, why St. John gives us these stories in rapid-fire succession. But one of the things he's doing by that is he's using people. He is literally using people. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being used. I mean, sometimes you know you're being used because you're being silly about a subject matter, and you know. But the worst times are when someone has used you, whether it's a group or it's one person, family members or not. Don't you get mad when someone's used you and then you figure it out? Jesus is using people, and he's allowed because he's Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Alpha and Omega, and he is directly using people in these three Sundays. Two Sundays ago, the Samaritan woman at the well, he's clearly using her. She's the only one there, and it's probably right around noon, and Jesus comes, and he's thirsty, and he sends his disciples to go get food, and it's just Jesus and this woman, and he's using her. Woman, give me something to drink. Well, he could draw water from the well himself. He's using her. And she knows by his dress that he is not from Samaria, where she is from, which is part of the northern kingdom of Israel, which despises the southern kingdom of Israel when it was a split kingdom. And the southern kingdom of Judah despises the northern kingdom of Israel. That sounds like the world not liking each other. I mean, to think that ever happened in the United States between the south and the north?
Yeah.
Sir, you would ask me for water? Jews don't speak to Samaritans. And he's using her to teach. Woman, if you knew who it was that was here sitting right now, you would ask for living water and it would be given to you. Sir, give me this water and give it to me now. I will. Go get your husband and come back. He's using her. Well, sir, I don't have a husband right now. I know. And as a matter of fact, the guy you're living with right now is not your husband, and you're not supposed to be doing that. And you've had multiple husbands. He's using her. Last Sunday, the blind man, Jesus himself, point blank, says it. He's using him. Jesus knows that this man is going to be born blind before his conception. This is an adult beggar who is blind and an outcast in society. The very beginning of last Sunday's gospel begins with the disciples who have been taught this erroneously, but asking a legitimate question because of what they had been taught prior to Jesus. Lord, was this man born blind because of the sins that he committed or the sins of his parents? And Jesus just throws that out. This man is not blind because of any sins that he committed or his parents or anyone else. He was born blind to show God's glory. He's literally said, I'm using this man for my purposes to prove my glory, which means he knew he was born blind before he was blind, and he knows he's been sitting there for years begging. And he's allowed because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And today is even more blunt, right before he gets ready to head into Jerusalem in triumph, and then his agonizing death, and finally his glorious resurrection. They come with word. The person you feel like is your brother, your beloved friend Lazarus, is ill, which embedded in that is, Lord, go. You just healed the blind man. You can heal him. And Jesus says, I'm going to stay here 2 more days. He's using Lazarus. And he stays. And then the disciples hear this. Our brother Lazarus has fallen asleep. Well, Lord, don't worry about him. He'll wake up. Wouldn't you have said that? Wouldn't you have said something like that? Maybe the heat stroke Jesus is getting. And Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can see my glory. Because at the beginning of this gospel, when he's talking about Lazarus, he says, this man is ill to give the glory to God and the glory to the Son of Man. Ooh. Using the woman, using the blind man, and now using Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Why? His divinity is on fire right now. And he's bringing it to this gospel and bringing it to us, saying, I will conquer these things. Have faith and reason and do not live in fear. Jesus is saying to us, what have I taught you about the woman at the well? Her own people didn't believe salvation was for her. That's why she was at the well at noon, and I'm using her, and I knew she was going to be there. And I told her, I bring you living water, which is forgiveness and eternal life. She was not only despised by the people from Judea, but by Samaria, her own people, and Jesus brought her living water to tell us there's hope in our forgiveness of sin, and life is ours. Oh my heavens, thank God his divinity was on display. The blind man, in using him, he's saying, if I choose to heal you, I'll heal you. But if I choose not, that is up to me. But I am making you whole. And I made that man whole in his healing as well as bringing him back to the community, even though he was rejected by the leaders. And finally, with Lazarus, when he says to the disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there so I can prove to you that I have power over death. That's his divinity directly on display and the power of it. And in fact, I'm going to wait 2 days. And when he does get there, Lazarus was dead 4. And he raised him from the grave. Why did he choose these people? You ever ask yourself that? I believe he knows their faith. I believe he knows these people live in faith and reason and not in fear. When he met the woman at the well, I believe he knew her faith, and he knew that she was faithful, even though she was rejected everywhere. That's why she's getting water at noon. She displayed her faith. Go get your husband. She's honest. Jesus is saying, be honest with me. I'll forgive you, my child, and give you living water. If you're honest with me, learn from her. I'm using her to teach you. I don't have a husband. I don't have... Lord, here are my faults. Have the living water, Jesus says. You are forgiven and granted eternal life because my Father sent me into this world not to condemn you, but to save you. The blind man, his faith is rock solid. There he is. And Jesus comes and gets close to him, so close that he spits into the ground and makes mud. Can you imagine that scene? What is he doing? And then he puts the mud on the man's eyes. Go wash. And in faith he does. And the man can see. He's never seen Jesus yet, but he can see. And then he's called in faith twice before the Pharisees and rejected both times. In fact, insulted the last time. You sinner, you tell us about this Jesus and you are mired in your sins. Get out. And Jesus goes to find him because of his faith. And when he finds him, simple words. First time this man has seen the person who healed him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Here's his faith. Yes, I do. Just tell me who it is. It's me. And he bows down and worships him. He doesn't need the synagogue. He has Jesus. And oh my heavens, Lazarus. But Mary and Martha's faith is on display. Martha greets him first. Lord, if you had just been here. But I know God, your Father, gives you what you ask. Do you believe in who I am? Yes, I believe you're the Messiah. I am the way and the truth and the life, he proclaims to her. Lazarus will rise from the grave. Faith again. Well, yes, Lord, I believe that. And the resurrection of the dead, and he point blank says, your brother will live. Now go tell your sister. She comes in great faith too, not anger. Again, Lord, if you'd just been here, where did you put his body? Let's go there. And a whole group of people go. And what did you hear? Oh, great, he's here. Oh, really? We know the story of the blind man. We know about him waking that man up from his blindness. Oh, why didn't he come and save his friend? And they get there. The stench of death, if you've ever smelled rotting flesh, it will stop you dead in your tracks, whether it's an animal or a human being. Roll away the stone. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Roll away the stone. And they do. And then he gives us these great words. Lazarus, come out. I've used you to prove I have power over death, and there he comes. He can't say anything. He can't hear anything because from the top of his head to his feet, he is wrapped in cloth, anointed for burial. But he could smell himself. I guarantee it. He is smelling his own death, and he knows he's alive because he was faithful. And then Jesus teaches us something that is perfect for these trying times. Unbind him and let him go. They're frozen in their fear, and they unbind him. And he gets to see his Lord and Savior who has just raised him. Can you imagine turning backwards and realizing that was your deathbed? And now you're alive and reunited with your sisters and family who love you? Hold fast to his words. They're full of faith and reason, and he's commanding us, unbind the people around you who are living in fear and let them go. In these day and times, when I watch the news like you do, or read it, doesn't matter, or I hear people talking. This is pretty much all I hear. Well, did you see the number of infected people in the United States has now gone to 100 plus thousand, and there are X thousand numbers of deaths? And I say yes. Do you know in the state of Florida there are now X thousand and there's 56 as of this morning deaths? Yes, I know. Unbind them and let them go. Do the math. In this country, right now, the death rate is 1.8%. And in Florida, it's 1.4. One death is too many. Well, I choose to tell people, do you know that in this country, 98.2% are expected to recover, and 98.6% in the state of Florida are expected to recover? Unbind them and let them go. And tell them, if their loved one is on a ventilator anywhere in the world, the Lord is with them, and He may heal them or He may not, but He's making them whole and granting them the water of life. May He use us to be faithful and reasonable and shred the evil one's fear. And I've been blessed to preach that 4 times today. And go from this place with that good news. Otherwise, this table means nothing. This is living water. Thanks be to God. Amen. You're in trouble always when I have you for 4th sermon. But you know what's pretty cool about that? The only time I really ever preach 4 times is on Easter Sunday morning. Think God has something in store for us beyond our wildest imaginations? Absolutely. The communion liturgy, if you'd like to follow along, is on page 3 of your bulletin. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. In great love You sent to us Jesus, Your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened His arms to all. In the night in which He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, it is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of Me." Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, He gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of Me." Remembering, therefore, His death, resurrection, and ascension, we await His coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all Your people in the body of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through Him, with Him, in Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is Yours, mighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. You may come get ready for communion, and I'll be out front of the altar to serve you in just a second. Christ, continue to strengthen us and keep us in His grace and the power of the healing Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We pray the blessing on page 4 together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." Our sending hymn is the doxology, which you all know. And I will count to 3, and I'll keep my mic on to lead us. Don't forget to let your fellow brothers and sisters know. We put it out on email, but these sermons and part of the liturgy, Mike Sinello, give Mike a big amen. He has them out on the website. Thank you, George, for also coordinating that with Mike. So it is available. It is very easy to click on and listen if that's some of the way people can get worship experience. There is no video, just audio. And continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Go in peace. Share the good news. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you.